Of Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph, two lines up from the bottom of the two dots. We're about to turn to Daf Mem Dalad Amud Beis. And the Gemara now wants to clarify, does Yichud Kli, for the purpose of Isur, generating Isur, for the course of that Shabbos? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Mita, Sheyichta Limos. In those days, when they had to find a place to keep the coins, the currency, and coins are muktza, often they kept it in compartments, and a mita might mean some sort of a bed, or it might mean perhaps a closet. You know, the word mita could mean a number of different things. So let's just see how he translates mita here. I'm just curious. He says that, one second. He also translates mita in the classic way as a bed, but I would assume that the mita of those days maybe had certain drawers or compartments where you could keep money. So that, if not for the fact that he designated it for his money, the mita is a classic case of a kli shemelach leheter. But now, is he converting it, transforming it into a kli shemelach leisur? And that's what seems to be the case, according to Rav Yehuda Marav, asur l'taltala. It reminds us of the concept, but just by sheer association, of hazmona milsa, that once he designates something for a certain purpose, it's as if he actually implemented that purpose. He has not yet put the mos onto the bed, but he was mazmin. He did azmana for the purpose of the bed. I don't think he made any change physically in the bed, but he designated, and he was maksadaito, that he won't use this bed for the course of Shabbos. He will use it rather to keep his mos. And according to this statement here, Rabbi Yehuda prohibits it for tiltul under any circumstance. It's not a klisha malato le'iser, which would be mutal le'tzarek gufal le'tzarek makom. Again, all these concepts have to be understood. But just, it would seem that this mita, since it's now serving something that's asur, right, the mos are asur, therefore it becomes mukta, like the mukta itself of mos. It's a little bit reminiscent of what we discussed once about chatzotzos, about trumpets that make music on Shabbos. They have no other purpose because they're straight. They're not like a shofar that's bent. And therefore, in the case of chatzotzos, you're not allowed to move chatzotzos, even litzarek gufo, litzarek makomo. And Rabbi Shimon, who would say that litzarek gufo, litzarek makomo is mutter, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't generate any iser tilto on any kli, as long as you're using it litzarek gufo, litzarek makomo. The only exception to that rule, which is a sugya later on, is muktza machmas chisaron kis, something that's very sensitive, very expensive. Meisve, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak has a kasha on Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav from the Tanakhama and Mishnah, who is no other than Rabbi Yehuda, and he's machmir v'tiltul muktzah, and yet mitaltul ner chadash, aval lo ner yeshan. It would seem that only in the case of ner chadash, because there's no muktzah machmas isur or machmas mius, therefore, even though clearly in this case of ner chadash, it is designated for use as a ner, for adlaka purposes, for lighting it. So that's his yichud. And nevertheless, even Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who's machmir and accepts muktza, he's matir using or moving a ner chadash, despite the fact that there's yichud ladlaka. And it would seem that yichud, therefore, is not enough to generate some sort of an iser. You need that he actually use it. He hasn't used this ner Fad look, and therefore it's not muktzah. And so too, in the case, by analogy, in the case of someone who's miyachin a mita for mos, if he hasn't used it in that sense, it should not generate muktzah. And now the Gemara makes it into a kind of a kal v'chomer. This is on Daf Mem Dalet Amid Beis. Uma ner de lahachi avida lo hidliku bashari litil tula. In the case of a ner, which is surely used as a general rule, it's designated for lighting. That's the purpose of a ner, and therefore it would be logical that since it's designated to use vadloka, it should be also betiltul. Nevertheless, it's muta betiltul. Lo adlika bashari, if he hasn't yet lit, it's muta. Is here in the case of mita, which is lav lavidi, lachi avidi, normally you sleep in a bed, you sit on a bed, you don't use it for a mos. Lo kolshkein, certainly the fact that it's now designated during the course of this Shabbos to be used for mos, it should not be muktzah. And the Ritva, he has a little bit of a problem because he says he doesn't understand the proof, the analogy here from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that ein metaltel ner yoshan, in other words, an air that was once used. And the Mishnah doesn't tell us that ein metaltel ner sheyichad ladlaka. You know, it goes on to talk about an air chadash. It could have said that an air yoshan is ein metaltel bo because it's yichud ladlaka. Apparently, the reason why ein metaltel b'ner yoshan, the isra'at tiltul, is not because of yichud ladlaka, because if so, then even a ner chada should be asur, but rather for a different reason entirely. But maybe the Tana wants to tell us that enochinami, it's not a different reason. The reason why ner yoshan is also betiltul is because it was miyuchad ladlaka. But we need a little bit more than yichud ladlaka. The Mishnah wants to be mechadesh that even if it was what we call a maisa kol dehu, let's say it was used on one occasion, that's enough to clinch the yichud. But the difference between ner chadash and ner yoshan is not because one has a yichud and the other doesn't have a yichud, but rather because one had a yichud plus a maisa kol dehu, and the other didn't have a maisa kol dehu. But in any event, Rashi certainly interprets this sugya in the way we suggested before. Leave aside the Ritva right now, that clearly a ner chadash should be asur if a mita sheyichdol lemos is asur. Eli Itmar hachi Itmar. The Gemara now reinterprets Rav, and we read it like this: Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav mita sheyichada. Well, maybe we should read it yichda lemos. He niach ole mos asul letaltol. Lo niach ole mos mutul letaltol. That yichud itself, without a maisa, is not going to transform a kli shemalatol a heter and generate an isur tiltul. However, if on one occasion, even during the week, he used this mita for the purpose of mos, then it's not only yichud, but it's also a maisa. He did a maisa. Now, the mita becomes a mita miuedis lemos. And that would mean the following. Let's say on a Thursday, for argument's sake, he placed mos on this mita. He removed the mos before Shabbos. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. It still retains its status as miyuchad lemos shekvar hinichu aleihem mos. In other words, there was yichud plus an actual maisa. If it was pure yichud, he never did a maisa, that itself would not generate isur tiltul. Hence, ner chadash was never used as a ner fadlaka, and therefore it's mutter. So the Gemara says, lo yichadol lemos if he, let's say, did not designate it for Mos, but Yesha Leha Mos, what would be in a case where, for some reason, Mos are on this mitah? And when I say for some reason, maybe someone else put the Mos on the mitah, unbeknown to him, or perhaps, you know, Mos fell from a higher shelf, and they fell onto the bed. In such a case, that's called Lo Yichada Lemos, but Yesho Lemos. So now we're saying that it's also Letaltala. Why? Because there were Mos that were placed on this Mita. In the first case, the Mos were removed from the Mita before Shabbos. In the second case, the Mos are on the Mita during Shabbos. At that point, there's an Isur Tiltal on the Mita. However, Ein Olam Mos, Mutal Taltala. If there's no Mos on the bed, you're allowed to move the bed. Even though once upon a time, there were Mos on the bed. And what does that mean? Since these Mos are on the bed without what we call Yichta Lahem Beferush, we're assuming that in order to transform the nature of this mita, which is in and of itself a klishem lachta lahetta, there's no shaychas of buktsa, you need what's called makze midaito. Now, I'm not sure about Rabbi Yehuda. Let's leave Rabbi Yehuda on the side for a moment. Let's take Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, as we said many times, in something that could have a function that's mutar on Shabbos, would only recognize muktzah, apply muktzah, if it was makta midaito. Like the case we mentioned of grogros vitzimukim, or perhaps a ner shedolik b'Shabbos. That's called huktzah midaito. Here also, in the case of mita, if you want to make it into muktzah, you'd have to have huktzah midaito. Now, huktzah midaito requires yichud beferush. Yichud beferush, when he explicitly designates it for muktzah, that's called makta midaito. So if he was miyached this mita, and in fact he used it on one occasion during the week, then even though he took off the mos before, off the mita before Shabbos, nevertheless that's called haktzah. But if, on the other hand, he wasn't makta beferush, then, if there are no mos now on the mita, even though there were mos before Shabbos, the mita is not mukta, because we're lacking here yichud beferush. So yichud beferush, if there were mos during the week, even though there's no mos now, that's called makta midaito, that would generate the status of muktzah to this mita. But in a case where the mos are on the mita, then if we're lacking yichud beferush, meaning it wasn't midaito, it wasn't that he was makzah daito, midaito, then it depends. Are there mos on the mita now or not? If right now the mita has mos on it, we can't move the mita. If, on the other hand, there are no mos here on the mita, then we can move the mita. Vehu. Now Rav qualifies what he said, that if there are no mos, even though there may have been mos before Shabbos, with no mos on Shabbos, then the mita is not mukta because he wasn't miyachid beferush. Who? That only applies kishalo hayo aleha b'bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos is critical. That's going to determine whether there's muktzah or not. If there were mos on the bed, even without yichud beferush, at the point of bein hashmashos, then for the balance of Shabbos, the mita is muktzah. But if before, 1 minute before bein hashmashos, he took the mos off, or they fell off the bed, whatever happened, then we're not going to say that the mita is muktzah, because he wasn't maktzah midas, there was no yichud beferush, and there are no mos on the mita going into Shabbos. But if there are mos on the mita going into Shabbos, meaning at the point of Bein HaShmashos, then once this mita becomes muktzah b'vein hashmashos, it remains muktzah during the entire course of Shabbos. And this is basically migu diskatzoi l'bein hashmashos iskatzoi l'kuleyom. Now, let's clarify two points. Point number one is that if yichta and hiniach aleha, that, as we said before, transforms the object into muktzah. And how does that work? The object really has many different functions. But he decided that he wants to limit, he wants to designate it exclusively for one particular function. So you have the mita, which has obviously many different usages. And now he wants to use it, single it out for the purpose of mos. That changes the nature of the kli. How? He was miyachid it, and he demonstrates his yichud by doing an action and putting the mos on the bed. That transforms the bed. The bed now has only one shimush, kaviyochol, and that's the shimush for the mos. That makes it into muktzah. It becomes irrelevant as to whether the mos are there on Shabbos. Now we fast forward to the sefer. We get to the case where he was not miyachid it. So he did not change the function of the kli, the designation of the kli, to one particular shimush for anocha. But there are mos on the bed. If there are mos on the bed is muktzah. When did the mos get to the bed? Before Shabbos or on Shabbos, but certainly going into Shabbos, there were mos on this bed. So Rashi interprets that if there were mos on the bed without yichud, then it becomes a basis ledavar asur. Why? Because the bed is underneath the mos, holding on to the mos, and it becomes tofel to the mos. It's like secondary to the mos. And therefore the muktzah halacha that apply, the status that applies to that which is on top of the bed, now applies to the bed underneath that object. That's called a basis ledavar asur. But now let's ask the following question. How did the mos get onto the bed? Now here we have a very important point of Tosa. Tosa says that hamos hunchu al amito b'meshach hashavos midas. There was a deliberate action to place the mos on top of the bed. V'loshe naflu aleha. It didn't fall, like we suggested earlier, from the shelf. Oh, nishkechu sham, maybe he forgot that he has mos, he put his wallet on the bed. Because ilu naflo nishkechu aleha, then it would be mutter to be metaltel lemita in order to shake off the mos. And why is that? Because he never was makta the mita. It's just the problem is that right now the mita is serving as a bosses. But it's not a real bosses in the sense that it wasn't deliberately placed, the mos were not deliberately placed there on the bed. So therefore there would be no Iser of Bosses Ladavras on this mita. Something which happens to be on something on top of something else, that something else on the bottom is not a bosses. If it just happens to be there. And that has to do with the sugi at the end of Masech de Shabbos on Kuf Mem Beis. So how exactly did these mos of muktzah get onto the bed l'das? And Tosus points out, we're not talking about a case where he placed it on the bed on Erev Shabbos deliberately. Because then, even after the mos would be removed from the bed would remain muktzah. That a guy who had the, shall we say, the consent of the Jew, or a katan who had the consent of a gadol, placed it on the bed. So that's enough of a midas. And once it's anoch a midas, then the mita becomes a basis ledavaros. So these are, so Rabosai, we have here two different mahalchim, two different approaches. We've got one approach that applies the halacha of muktzah mamish, which what I mean by that is that this utensil, in this case the mita, has no function whatsoever. Why he was miyachid it, and he followed through with a maisa for Mos. Now the object, in this case the mita, has exclusive designation for one and only one thing, and that's Mos. That makes it muktzah mamish. Now we go on to a different discussion of a case of lo yichet. There are Mos on the bed. Well, when did the Mos get on the bed? If they got on the bed before Shabbos and they were removed before Shabbos, no problem. The mita is muta. If, on the other hand, they got onto the bed before Shabbos and they were there, Ben Hashmosh is entering into Shabbos, or they got onto the bed on Shabbos itself, which means that was a midas, insofar as it was done by a guy or by a katan on Shabbos, on behalf of the guy with the Jew's agreement and consent, then we analyze this perspective not from muktzah in the sense that it only has one function, which is asur, which is impossible, but from the perspective of basis. It becomes a basis l'davar asur because it was deliberately placed on, the mos were deliberately placed on top of the meat. That would be an overview of what we learned until now. Now, what we're about to learn now is that Ula is going to quote Rabbi Eliezer and ask a kasha on Rav from the Mishnah. Now, which Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer interested in? He's got a Mishnah in the 18th chapter of Kelim, Masechta Kelim, which deals, of course, with Tumah V'Tara. In the case of something called a Shidah, a Shidah is, I guess you might call it a break front or a closet of some sort that is made from a very large piece of wood. And the Mishnah in the 18th Perek is based on the Mishnah earlier in the 15th Perek. The Mishnah establishes, with regard to a Shidah, that these are very large kelim, Shidah, Teva, Migdal, and if they can contain within them, they're so large, a volume of 40 saw of liquids, then not makabel tumah. So let's say tumah came in contact with a shida, teva, migdal. Or for example, let's say the shida, teva, migdal were in an oel and there was a dead corpse in the oel. There's no kabbalas tumah. Why? Because they can contain 40 saw. Now, if they cannot contain 40 saw, then the makabel tumah, like any other kli, and this is derived from a pasuk. Fine. Now, we're talking about kliates, so which are makabel tumah, they're wooden kelim. And wooden kelim are only makabel tumah if it doesn't have the size that can hold on to a volume of 40 saw of mashkin. And this is derived from a pasuk, which equates kliates with sak in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, we call kliates obeged, or sak. And that teaches me that a kliates is makabel tumah only if it's like a sak, which is something that's movable not only when it's empty, but even when it's full. So kliates, if it's so large that it can carry within it a 40 saw, that's not like sak, that's not metaltel, and therefore it's not a kli as far as Kabbalah's tumah is concerned. That was the Mishnah in the 15th Perek that talks about Shida. Now, in the 18th Perek of Kelim, the Mishnah answers the following question. How do we measure this Shida in order to determine whether it could contain 40 saw? And we have Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai hold that if you can measure it on the inside, meaning how much space for how much volume of liquids does it have on the inside, if it has enough arboim saw of liquids, then it is not a kli anymore. It's too large. It's not movable. It's not dumya de sak. And Beit Hillel hold that we're going to measure the kli, the shida, from the outside of the kli. And the issue here is about the Ovi HaShida Atzma, the thickness, the walls of the Shida. And Beis Hillel will measure this Shida from the outside, and what it really means is that we're going to try to evaluate whether this Kli could contain 40 Sah, and that means the entire Shida in its perfect entirety. According to Beis Hillel, we don't exclude the Ovi Ashida, the thickness of the walls of the Shida. That's not going to be excluded as far as evaluating how much of a volume does the Shida hold on to, so to speak. Beit Shammai is right in the sense that in B'mitzius, you know, there is a thickness in the Shida. So if you want to know how much of a volume, you know, whether or not this Arboim saw that it could hold inside the Shida, you have to calculate it from the inside. But Beis Hillel wants to go in an abstract sense to consider the Ovi Adfanos, and that's mitztaif to the shear of this Mida, and sort of imagine there were no Adfanos, or imagine the Adfanos were thin like skin, you know, and you could calculate, you know, theoretically what would be the maximum volume of liquids that could be held in this Shida. Let's assume that the Shida has a floor to it, right? It has a bottom, and therefore could hold liquids. Now the shear of liquids, as we said before, is our Arboim Sah. Our Arboim Sah in liquids is parallel, just for edification purposes, to two cores in Yavesh, in a dry substance. And the Mida of our Arboim Sah Balach is equal to an airspace, if you will, of an Amma al Amma Berum Sholosh Amos. So one Amma this way, one Amma that way, and the height is Sholosh Amos. Okay. Now, the Mishnah afterwards, the second Mishnah in the 18th Perek, because we just read the first Mishnah in the 18th Perek, addresses the case of something called Muchni. Okay, so this is a continuation of our discussion. And Muchni is the wheel of the Shida. So the Shida is now on wheels. It's like a wagon, so to speak, on wheels. And what's the Muchni? Maya Muchni Shala Shida. Again, there are different interpretations of this. Rashi seems to assume that the Muchni of the Shida is the Galgal Shal Shida. So it means that the Shida, like a wagon, has wheels. Others say, although it's round, but it's not the Galgal Amata, but rather Galgal Amala. And what that means is that there's some sort of a, almost like a stepladder, in order to carry or raise things from the ground into the Shida. Others say that a Muchni is a basis. In other words, it's some sort of foundation on which the Shida sits. Fine. So the Mishnah now says Muchni Shalab is Manchi Nishmetes Eina Chiburla, Viena Nibdedis Ima, Viena Matzelis Ima Biola Mes, etc., etc. Viem Eina Nishmetes Chiburla, Vinimdedis Ima, Matzelis Ima Biola Mes. So we have to test out this Muchni in order to determine various halachas. We'll see these halachas. But we have to determine, first of all, whether this Muchni is a Muchni ha Nishmetes or a Muchni she'eino Nishmetes. In other words, is it a permanent attachment to the Agala or it's a temporary attachment? Are there easy ways of removing the wheel and detaching it? That's called Nishmetes. So if it's not tied down, tightened together with the shida, I'm talking about this muchni, this wheel, then it's considered a kli unto itself. And that would mean that if the shida itself does not hold 40 saw balach, and therefore it does receive tumah, it is susceptible to tumah, that doesn't impact at all on the muchni, because the muchni is nishmetes, it falls out, it goes in and out, and it's not connected in a permanent way to the shida. So the shida could be tameh, but the muchni itself remains tar. The opposite could be true as well. Let's say the muchni contracted tumah, the shida itself remains tar. Now, if the shida could hold 40 saw, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, the muchni will receive tumah, again if it's a case of muchni nishmetes. Furthermore, ein nimdedes ima, if it's a temporary kind of attachment between the wheel and the wagon, then we don't include in the calculation of the shida, to get a shear of what we said was amal amah brum shol shamos, or shear of our boim saw in lach, is the muchni is not going to be calculated together with the shida. And ein matzels ima biola mes, this shida is not makabel tumah if it's covered, and let's say there are other kalim inside this covering, inside this awning or oil, and it's not going to be makabel, it's not going to be infect, if you will, the other kalim. It's not makabel tumah. However, the din changes with regard to a muchni, in a case of muchni hanishmetes, even if the muchni is covered. This means that if there are kalim inside the shida, because again, the shida is some sort of a closet that contains shelves and has kalim in it, then if the shida does not receive tumah when it's covered, then it protects the kalim within it, inside of it, from tumah. In other words, matzila al hakelim shebesochus lo yitamu, they will not become tamei li'ol ames. And again, we're continuing now in our study of nishmetes, and it says ein gorin osa b'shabes bisman sheish betocha mos, that you're not allowed to drag drag the shida on Shabbos if there are mos, which are asuras betiltul, inside the shida. And what could be possible here is that the wheels themselves become also betiltul. So if he wants to drag the muchni, this, we'll call it a wagon, if you will, for the time being, on Shabbos, on its wheels, then the wheels themselves are considered muktzah. But all that is in a case of what's called nishmetes. Right? We're talking about a wheel that is attached, but it's not tightly attached. It's not a chibur. And it's an entity unto itself, separate from the shida, and therefore it has the status of muktzah. And that's the Mishnah in Kalim. Ein gorin osa b'shabes b'zman sheish olah mos. And that means that there are mos on top of this muchni. Again, I'm not sure the engineering of it, exactly how the mos remain stable on top of a wheel. But let's assume that that could happen. And the status now of the muchni is muktzah. The wheel is muktzah, by virtue of the fact that there's money on top of the wheel. Now we get to Rabbi Eliezer's Kasha. He quotes this Mishnah of Muchni Shallah, the wheel, Bisman Shi Nishmetes, right? It's removable, which means it's only attached on a temporary basis. V'ein Chibur Lo. So that the wheel, since it's removable, is considered a separate utensil, separate kli. Which means that if the Shida itself, right, this kind of a wagon becomes tameh, the wheel does not become tameh, and that's because it's a separate entity. If, let's say, the wagon itself, the shida, is too large, it's more than 40 saw, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumah, in such case, the wheel itself is susceptible to tumah because it's a separate entity. It's a kli unto itself. Now, we go on and we, after reading the Mishnah in the Dedeseino and the Matzal Simo Biola Mes, in Gorno Sobe Shabbos Usman Sheshalem Mos, now, Rabbi Eliezer's medayik ha'ein aleh mos sharia. So if there's no money sitting on top of the wheel, you're allowed to drag the wheels. Afalgav dehavi aleh bein hashmoshos. In other words, the Mishnah puts all the emphasis on now. He wants to roll or drag the coach, you know, this wagon on its wheels, with its wheels, on Shabbos itself. Well, are there mos on the wheel or are there not mos on the wheel? And it would seem that it all depends upon whether there were mos there on Shabbos. Let's say there were mos there on the wheel on Erev Shabbos, but Bein HaShmoshos. Then we don't say that because it's Bein HaShmoshos it became Muktzah, and it's Muktzah throughout the entire Shabbos. Now that contradicts Rav. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer is raising this question on Rav, because Rav holds that the status of the mitah as a possible basis for mos is established at the entrance of the Knesset HaShabbos. Once there were mos on the Shido when Shabbos began, then it remains muktzah for the entire Shabbos. Here it's clear that it all depends upon whether or not there are mos on the Shida on Shabbos itself. So just to summarize Rabbi Eliezer's kasha on Rav, Rav seems to assume that if it's muktzah entering into Shabbos during Bein HaShmoshos, it's muktzah for the entire Shabbos. And the diuk of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah in Kalim is that it's only muktzah if there are mos on the wheel on Shabbos itself. Here's the Gemara's teretz. Hahi Rabbi Shimonhi, the lesley muktzah. The Mishnah in Kalim reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and he never accepted the principle of migu diskatzoyle ben ashmos diskatzoyle kuliyoma. So if the money, which is muktzah and has no function whatsoever, is on top of the wheel, that for sure makes the wheel muktzah. But if on the other hand, the money is not there on Shabbos, then the wheel is not muktzah. The Rav, but Rav himself holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that means svirulei, which means that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it was a basis, ledavar ha'os, ledavar muktzah, on the outset of Shabbos, and entering into Bein HaShmoshos of Shabbos, it becomes muktzah for the whole day, because Rav accepts the principle of Rav Yehuda of Migu, Migu l'skatzoy l'vein ha'shmoshos, l'skatzoy l'kuli yoma. And now we turn to Daf Mem Hei Amin Aleph. Hachidami Mistabra. This seems logical that Rav accepts the Shita Rav Yehuda. The Rav Rav Yehuda Svirle, because the Omer Rav Menichim Ner Al Gabi Dekel B'Shabbos, the Ein Menichim Ner Al Gabi Dekel B'Yontif.
that you're allowed to place a lamp that's burning, that's on, that's active, on top of a palm tree for Shabbos, but not for a yontif. I'm sorry. The Eimanichim, but not for yontif. So let's try to figure out why yontif here would be more machmir, more chomer than Shabbos. We can make sense and justify this distinction between Shabbos and Yontif if we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Nigudis Katsoil Bein Hashmoshes Katsoil Kuliyoma Haini Dishani Bein Shabbos LeYontif. Now we can justify the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. So here I have a note that Biyontif also Rav Laniach Ner al Gabi Dekel Mipnei Shekevin Shemitaltel in Ner Biyontif. You're allowed to move a Ner on Yontif because you're even allowed to light a Ner on Yontif. Is Chashu Shemi Yavo Litol Mea Ilon Biyontif. He may take the Ner off of this palm tree on Yontif. V'yishtamish b'mechubar. And then he's using something that's attached to the karka. However, b'shabes, sh'asal l'taltel saner, sh'dolak b'knisah shabes, b'chol ha-shabes. In other words, once the ner was lit during Bein HaShemoshos going into Shabbos, then it's also for the entire balance of Shabbos. And Rav, therefore, is going to permit placing on Erev Shabbos this candle on top of the palm tree, and he's not going to be choshesh that he might take it off the palm tree because he knows that the Ner is muktzah, and therefore he'll be naturally inhibited from taking it off of the palm tree, and therefore he's not using the palm tree. And this is a separate issur which is called Mishtamish Be'ilon. Chachomim also lishtamish b'shabbos yontif b'mechubah la'aretz, with various exceptions, but few and far between. And the Gemara in Masechta Beitz on Daf Lamed Vav says lo olin b'ilon, when you can't use the tree to climb up to a higher point, and that's all included in what's called a gzeirah shem yitlosh min ha'ilon. And therefore, they instituted, they enacted a general issur not to use something that's mechubah la'aretz, mechubah la'karka, iser shtamshus mechubah la'karka. And once he takes the ner off the palm tree, that's called mishtamesh be'ilon b'shabbos. Kishem sheyesh lachsho shu yishkach es ha'isem mishtamesh be'ilon v'yalav yikach es haner. It means we are afraid that he might climb up on top of this Elon in order to take the Ner. And on Yontif, that's a specific chashash, because on Yontif we said there was no Isum Muktzah on the Ner. Right? So let's just review this. Then on Yontif, Kevon Shemitaltelim Ner B'Yontif. So he might climb up the tree in order to get the Ner off the tree, because the Ner is not muktzah. But on Shabbos, we have no chashash that he'll try climb up the tree in order to get access to the Ner, because he knows the Ner itself is muktzah. If you were to posit then and present the possibility that Rav holds a Rav Shimon, which means that something which is also Bein HaShemoshos is not also for the Mess of Shabbos, because Rav Shimon rejects Migu this Katsoi, and therefore once the Ner goes out, you're allowed to be metal to the Ner, then Mali Shabbos, Mali Yontif, this whole distinction between Yontif and Shabbos falls to the wayside, because we said that the Chashia, that he might climb up the tree or use the tree, is because there's no Isur Tiltul on the Ner in the case of Yontif, as opposed to Shabbos. But the truth is that even on Shabbos, there's no Isur Tiltul on the Ner, according to Rav Shimon, because despite the fact that the Ner was dull going into Shabbos, it loses its status as Mukta on Shabbos when it goes out, because Reb Shimon rejects the principle of Migudis Katsoy. So now the Gemara asks the Kasha, on that which we said that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Chik Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, does Rav actually hold like Rabbi Yehuda? So here's where we're going to stop for today's Shia, because we're running out of time. It's on Daf Mem Heyam and Aleph. So we're at the end of the sixth line on Daf Mem Heyam and Aleph. The Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, and we'll start the next Shia by discussing the issue of having proven on the one hand that Rav holds like Reb Shimon. I'm sorry, having proved on the one hand that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, is it really so that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda?